Thank you, Pastor Ken. Well, it's an honor again to come here and share the word. Amen. If you have your Bible, you hold your Bible up. Say, this is my Bible. It's the living word of God. And I believe it on purpose. Amen. I believe it on purpose. You know, as some of you know, I enjoy the Old Testament, so I'm going to share a little bit about, we're going to look at the life of Jacob a little bit. You know, as we were sitting there during worship, and I was thinking about Jacob, and what I like is that, you know, we always hear Abraham is the father of faith, and that we are children of Abraham. You know, then Isaac is his son, and he comes, and he's the son of promise, and, you know, great things happen through him. But, you know, Jacob was one that multiplied. It was the 12 sons of Jacob, amen? Jacob is the one that came and multiplied. And God says, when he introduces himself in the Old Testament, he used to say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I think it's amazing, you know, and it's exciting. And one of the other things I kind of like really exciting is that, you know, when Nathan was doing the offering, is if you look at it, it says that Abraham tithed. Then it said that Isaac tithed. Then it says that Jacob tithed. And it's neat because it has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with the old covenant. It has to do with their heart, amen, that they tithed before God. So I'm just going to look at a couple of places. I'm going to call this dwelling closer. Let's go look at a couple of places that, you know, Jacob went. It's actually the same place, but he went there different times. So in Genesis 28, I can hear myself. Tip it down a little bit. Genesis 28, I'm going to start at verse 11. Also, I'll start at verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and he put them there for pillows. And he laid down in the place of sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land wherein thou liest, I will give it to you and to your seed. And to thy seed shall be the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the east, to the west, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in this thy seed shall thy families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in places wherever you go, and will bring thee against this land. And I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and it is the gate of heaven. And he called the place Bethel. Now, I'm not going to talk about the what he said was dreadful. He was afraid, because we're not supposed to be afraid of God. Amen. But I like the fact that it, in verse 19, it says, and he called the name of the place Bethel, which means house of God. And it's really, you know, we've heard the story about, you know, that he saw a ladder descending and angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And, you know, it's really kind of neat because in John 1:51, you don't have to turn there, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. It's almost like, you know, well, I think it was the Bible school was talking about this as a theophany. Because the latter was, Jesus said, you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He saw a manifestation of Jesus in a sense. But what's exciting is that he was there, says that he's traveling, he gets a rock. And there's so much in this that, you know, when we're traveling through life and we get tired, where are we supposed to rest? We got to put our head upon the rock, amen? We got to lay our head upon the rock. It wasn't that he was tired. It says that it was nighttime and he was tired. So imagine making a pillow out of a rock. Like that's kind of like, you know, I go camping. And what do they call it? Glamping now? We go camping. We have pillows and we have this and we have, like, you know, mattresses and we have the heater and the air conditioning. And it's like, you know, we have a tent trailer. And I think, okay, it's time to move up, you know. Here he is. He's walking. And he got to the point that he was tired. And we have to look at the spiritual aspect of what the Old Testament stories, in the sense, is that he came and he rested his head upon the rock. But as we look tonight, as we go through, he doesn't stay there. He moves on. But he was there to the house of God is what it called, is what he called it, Bethel, house of God. He comes there, it's the house of God. So there's a fear upon him. He calls it the house of God. But needs are met. When we first come to church, sometimes it's like us. We're new believers. We show up. We don't have any intimacy with God because we don't know who he is yet. I remember when my grandmother took me to church. I was born. They told my mother I'd never walk. Never walk. My feet were twisted. I have a picture. My feet are twisted. My hands kind of twisted up. And they told my mother he'll never walk. Never. My grandmother's like, she took me to church. She was a Christian. She takes me to church. The pastor prayed for me. It wasn't a miracle. It was a healing. Over the course of a couple of years, my leg straightened out, and I can walk. Amen? I remember going to people. I wasn't even saved, and I said, God healed me. I actually have holes in my legs, like there's scars from when they would they had braces when I was younger, you know? So I'm a testimony that God is a healer. Amen? I was at the house of God. I wasn't intimate with him. I was 2 years old, so I wasn't intimate. I spent 20 years after that saying that God healed me, went to church camp, Christian camp. You know, my mom would send me to Sunday school and all these things, but I had no intimacy with him. You know, I know a lot of us growing up are like that. We know of God, but we have yet to know God. Amen. And that's what's exciting about Jacob, is that as he moves, he goes out, and in Genesis 31, he comes back again. And in Genesis 31, verse 11, it says, the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob, and I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see all the male goats mating in the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. This is where he was wanting a wife, and he was working for Laban. And Laban said, when you go, you can take all the goats. So he said, okay, I'm going to take all the goats that are speckled. So he separated all the speckled goats and gave them to Laban because he was working for a woman. He wanted one of his daughters, so he takes them all aside. Then he says, no, all those are yours. So I'm going to work, I think it's 7 years, and then everything else that's speckled and spotted will be mine. So Laban's like, yeah, okay, laughing because all the speckled ones are over there. So he took a stick out in a watering hole, and he cut the bark on the trees. So that when the goats would come to water and they would mate, they got what they seen. They seen wood that was speckled and spotted, and their kids were speckled and spotted. So after 7 years, he's like, okay, it's time to go. You know? But in verse 16, it says, God says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. And I love the fact that in verse 31:5, he says, and I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before. This is Jacob speaking. But the God of my father has been with me. Even at this point, he's doing this. He's seeing God's provision. He's had angels talk to him, but he still has not made him personal. The God of my father. Not my God, the God of my father. How many times do we talk to people or you're sharing the gospel and people say, well, I know God, but they don't know him as Lord, amen. They don't know him as Savior. They don't know him as my father. He says, Jacob says, the God of my father. Yet he's walking in a thing that if I had animals that were mating after seeing a speckled wall and I got to keep all that, I'd be like, that'd be amazing. It's a miracle that this is happening and God is speaking to him and God is like verbally speaking to him. He can hear the audible voice of God. But he still says, the God of my father. It's like me in Sunday school, growing up in Sunday school and going around and 20 years old. God healed me. But do you go to church? No. Didn't go to church. I'd go with my mom, Christmas. I was one of those Christmas and Easter Christians, C and E. One Christmas, one at Easter. Maybe go for, if there's a wedding or a funeral. It's sad. I was talking to a friend of my son's who's, early 20s. And we're just talking when I was down there, and I just made a reference to Adam and Eve, and it was like, what? Never heard of Adam and Eve? Nope. David and Goliath? Nope. It's like, it's a generation. They don't even have to go to church to go to a wedding now. It's like, I know kids, like I said, most kids my generation, even if they didn't go to church, they knew who David and Goliath were. They knew who Noah is. They heard about Adam and Eve. They heard these Bible stories. Now it's like a blank look. It's like, that just, it pained me that a generation that if we don't tell them who God is, they'll have no idea. Amen? We need to go out there. So we need to understand that it's not the God of my father, but it's my father. It's my Lord. Amen? He's my healer. He's not the healer. He's now my healer. We got to get to the point that we are coming to a place of realizing that he's my deliverer. He's my savior. Amen? So he's going out, and then he keeps walking. His needs are met because of God's mercy. He's having all these great things done. Then in Genesis 32, like I said, we're sticking Genesis. You know, I was talking to Pastor Ken before the service, and you know, we're just talking about, I like Jacob. You know, we were talking about different things. And we can learn so much about the places that people visit. I'm telling you, if you don't have a concordance, you should get one. Because God does not, every jot and tittle, which means everything that's mentioned is mentioned for a reason, amen? Everything is mentioned, is there for something. It's there so we can learn. Like I said, even I think it's Paul says that the Old Testament is there as a tutor to bring us to him, amen? So in Genesis 32, this is where Jacob is wrestling. He's wrestling with God. Verse 29, Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he said to him there, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. So he's wrestling with God, and he's saying, you know, the story, they're wrestling, and he won't let go. And you know, the sad part is, I used to think, well, he's wrestling with God, and you know, God touched his hip. I used to think, that's weird. It's like, you know, well, he's wrestling with God, and he says, "I won't leave you until you bless me." Sometimes we're like that. "Lord, I won't do this until," and the Lord says, "You're already blessed." What did he say to Abraham? "I will bless you and your descendants." He was already blessed. He's wrestling because of he's having a problem with his identity. He doesn't understand who he is, because at this point when he's wrestling, God says, or the angel says to him, "You will not now be called Jacob. I'm going to now call you Israel. Your name is now going to be changed from deceiver, Jacob, to Israel," which is prince. He goes, "You're going to become my prince. You're going to walk in an authority and a destiny I have for you." Sometimes, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself, that even now sometimes I have a problem and I still wrestle with God. When I hear something in the Word, I'm like, "Oh, I can't do that," or "That can't be me." Sometimes we wrestle. So what happens is, it affects not my physical walk, but it affects my walk. I walk with a spiritual limp because I have a hard time embracing the blessings and the promises of God on my life, and I end up walking with a spiritual limp into the promised land that I have. Because I'm supposed to walk. Jacob should have walked free. No limp. He should have not wrestled with God. He should have met God face to face and said, "I am Israel," and embraced it. But he doesn't. He still calls himself Jacob for chapters after this. He still introduces himself as Jacob. One thing he didn't learn from his grandfather, amen. Abram was walking. God shows up. He says, "I'm going to bless you, and now I'm going to give you a piece of me, and I'm going to change your name to Abraham." Next person Abram met, he says, "I'm Abraham." He embraced his new identity. "I'm Abraham." We got to realize that as believers, we need to, when we get into his presence and we get into prayer and we seek him and we get into him and face to face, we got to realize that I am the delivered of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the prospered of the Lord. I am the righteousness of the Lord. I am righteous. Sometimes, you know, even, you know, we're not the only ones. I know I'm not the only one that's happened, because even Paul, when he's talking about the Lord's table, he goes, "Some of you take his communion unworthily." And it's not the fact that it's because you're wrong when you do it. It's because you don't think you're worthy to receive it. Amen? Because he says, all you have to do is, "I can't take communion because," to repent. "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, I got into an argument with my wife. Lord, forgive me. Now I can take communion." It's that easy. Sometimes we forget that it's that easy. It's the enemy, it's ourselves that keep bringing up the past. "Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did yesterday." We got to realize that. What did I do yesterday? And the Lord says, "I don't know. I don't remember. As the east is from the west, I've forgotten." You know, I love it because it's not north to south, it's east to west. Because you walk north on the earth, once you hit the North Pole, you start walking south. Then you keep walking, then you hit the South Pole, you start walking north. But you walk east, you can walk all the way around the globe 100 times, and you'll still be going east. You don't turn west until you stop and turn. So when God says, I've forgiven you from the east, it's from the west, he's forgotten it. It's done. You know, and I used to struggle with that. When I got saved, I used to struggle with, but what about this in my life? And the Lord's like, what about it? Amen? What about when I did this? Sometimes it's like, okay, Lord, forgive me. You need to do this. Now I have to make restitution. And, okay, honey, I'm sorry that, you know, I got into a fight or I didn't do what I was supposed to do. There is sometimes a restitution that, especially if you're married, amen, you know what I'm talking about. You got to make restitution. Talk to your wife or your husband and apologize, or to your mom or to your kids or whatever. But, you know, most of the time if you do something wrong or I'm having a bad day and I get mad or whatever and it just affects me, it doesn't just affect me, amen. It affects me and him. So our biggest problem sometimes is our relationship with him is because we struggle amongst ourselves, within ourselves, right? So I like the fact that, so he's going, he's now, but, you know, the amazing thing is, this is, geographically, this is the same spot as where he saw the vision or the ladder. It's the same spot. He went out, traveled back, came back to the same spot. Now he's wrestling with God. He met God at the same place, but now he's going to say, I'm going to change the name again to Peniel because I've seen God face to face. Sometimes we got to realize that we need to go to our prayer closet. When we first get saved, it's a confession. Thank you, Lord. I confess you as Lord, and I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead, and you're saved. That really is only, you know, it's a confession. So how do we just keep going back to our intimacy or our prayer closet? I thank you, Lord. You're the same God that saved me. You're the same God that healed me. You're the same God that saved me. You're the same God that can get me out of this situation. You're the same God that saved me. So you're the same God that can meet whatever need it is, that you can deliver me or that you can prosper me or whatever it is that you need. Amen? When we, you know, I remember, like I said, I remember being at work years ago and I was just, you know, I was just praying and I'm off by myself doing what I'm doing. And it's like, and all of a sudden, the Lord, there's something hindering something in my life. And it was a hindrance. And I'm like, hey, Lord, what's the hindrance? And he said, you need to forgive your dad. And I remember thinking, forgive my dad? How can I forgive my dad? I've never met him. How can I forgive him? I've never met him. And he goes, the same way you're hating your dad that you've never met. And I'm like, oh. And it was an issue. And I remember thinking, Lord. And so I was like, okay, I can forgive him. And you know, and I never thought I harbored unforgiveness, because I've never had to meet him face to face and deal with it. But things will come through, and all of a sudden, because when you start walking it more intimate with God, the more that you start getting closer, the more that's going to be accountable of what you do. Amen. You want a ministry, you want to be where pastors is, he's more accountable to God than being where I am. Amen. Because he has a ministry, he's got a gift and a calling, a fivefold ministry, like Mark Davies, these guys have fivefold ministries. There's more accountability there than there is with, I don't like the term layman, but the guy who sits in the pew, amen? Because he's accountable. He's not, see, I'm accountable for what I read, and tonight I'm accountable for what I read and what I share. But pastor's accountable for what he reads, what he shares week by week by week. So there's more, like even, by, you know, even Jesus said, when you get closer, it's going to be more accountability. And we'll look at that. So then he's there. He's starting to embrace, well, he hasn't fully embraced his identity. So he's got to the house of God, Bethel. Then he goes to Peniel, because he says, I've met God face to face. So he's sitting there. He's building an altar at each place. So he's got a love for God, but he doesn't know intimacy. He hasn't fully embraced who he is. But he keeps building an altar. And I love the fact that as at this time here, he also tithes. And it's amazing because he tithes within this process as well. So then he goes to, I have it on my other sheet. Give me a second here. My wife always says, you need to be more organized. And I thought I was, honey. Numbers. So he went to, did I delete that? I'm still not very computer literate. Give me a second here. That's why I love notes and being old school. It's Genesis 35, I believe. I just want to double check. because I forgot to put it in my notes. Genesis 35, verse 5, it says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around about them. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. I think it's kind of neat that he's got all these enemies that are around about him, but there's a fear of because of God that they didn't pursue the sons of Jacob. They didn't go near him. You know, when we walk into a room, the enemy should be afraid of us. Amen? He should be afraid when we come into a situation. You know, when somebody's in the hospital and you get asked to go and pray, when you walk in there, the enemy should be afraid because he knows that we are already victorious. Amen? He should realize that somebody who knows his name, somebody who knows him intimately is coming into this room. Somebody is praying into a situation. Amen? The enemy should be afraid when we walk into a situation, whether it be by prayer or going to room or doing healing cloth or just going somewhere. The enemy should be concerned when we walk, when we show up. Amen? But in verse 6, it says, so Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is the land of Canaan, and he and all the people who were with him, and he built an altar there, and he called the place Al Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Al Bethel means God of the house. So now he's gone to the same physical location that was not just the house of God, Bethel. Now he's made it personal. It's God. It's Al Bethel. So he's gone from just the God of the house, showing up at church. I'm going to show up. You know, when your friends come with you. I went with my mom. Yeah, I'll come. I was going through something. I'll go to church with her. So I went to the house of God. Saw some neat things. Interesting. Then all of a sudden, one day I went with her, and I met him face to face, and I got saved. Hallelujah. I made him, you know, I got saved. And I still had no desire. I know some people, when they get saved, and they're all like, on fire. And I was like, oh, do I have to go back tonight? I still had a desire, you know. But now it's at the point that now it's not to the house of God, it's God of the house, amen. Now it's, I want to see you, Lord. I want to dwell with your people. I want to come into your presence. I want to go to a worship service and sing of your praises, oh God. Jacob's gone to a place that he's now, it's not just the house of God. Now it's God of the house. He doesn't say the God of my father anymore. Every time now when he talks about God, he talks about my God. He's made it personal. He's made him. And, you know, that's what we have to be. We have to be like that. We have to make sure that we make him personal, you know. And sometimes, I was thinking even for myself that, okay, Lord, you know, I've been saved a long time, and this happens. But sometimes we can still get to the point where, you know, we can get lackadaisical. I'm talking about myself. Sometimes we can get lackadaisical. And there, Wednesday, you know, you get up, and it's like, oh, I don't want to go tonight, especially summer's coming. Weather's nice, you know, but we have to make a choice. Me and my wife, I'll speak for us. I can't speak for you, but we have to make a choice. We all, sometimes we go through that. You know, when we first got married, my mom gave us a trailer. So we had this trailer, it was set up at a park, and we'd go there holidays. I'd go for a week. And it was after about 2 years, one of the neighbors, like, she goes, do you want to sell your trailer? Because she goes, you're never here. Because we didn't go. It was like a 45-minute drive. Everybody, well, why on weekends? Why don't you go on weekends? I go to church. You tell people, I have a camper. We don't go. I go to church. And they look at you like, what? He gives me the desires of my heart, which means he gives me the desire. He places that desire in my heart, the fact that I want to be with his people. You know, I don't mind camping. Don't get me wrong. I love to camp. I enjoy having a campfire and all that. But I'd rather be at church Sunday morning hearing the word. Amen. We made a decision that we want to not just go to Bethel. We want to embrace Al Bethel. Amen. We want to get the place that we come in and we have a desire. And we still, Sunday mornings, there's still times when we could do this for the weekend. And it's like, no. And that's why I'm so fortunate and I'm so thank you, Lord, that I married somebody who's like-minded, because there are some days I'm like, honey, I don't want to go. And she goes, you're going. Get out of the bed and go, you know. But, you know, even Jesus did that. And John, I think I wrote the wrong one down. That's okay. John. It's in John 6, I believe. You know, he's talking to his disciples. John 6, 63, I believe it is. I'll start at 59. It says, in these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, it's hard saying, who can understand this? This is when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it's like, okay, that's kind of a weird thing. He offended some people. And then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. And he said, does this offend you? What man should see the Son of Man? What then, if you should see the Son of Man where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But they are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come unto me unless it has been granted him by my Father. From that time, it says, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go? You know, he said something here, and he's talking about, you know, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And you're thinking, that's kind of a weird thing. But there's a lot of times we read things in the Word where it will offend us. I remember reading in the Word, well, you know, that I have, you know, the righteousness of God, and I can rule and reign in my life. And I'm like, okay, that almost offends me because I don't understand this. I don't understand, what do you mean that I have to deny myself and follow you? That kind of offends me, you know. And he said, because it's not just these words, you know, it's not just these words, but sometimes it's all that word can offend us. When we read something and we're like, oh, I don't like that. When a pastor talks about, you know, forgiveness, and he's like, well, you know, you got to do this to forgive somebody. And it's like, oh, I don't know if I like that part. Well, we can't pick and choose the part of the word that we like. Amen? We got to be able to say, okay, you know what? I have to learn how to forgive somebody. I have to learn how to walk in forgiveness. I have to learn how to get rid of my attitude. And, you know, sometimes, like, if you're married, your spouse sounds like the Holy Spirit. And he reminds me all the time through her, you need to change your attitude, change your attitude. And sometimes you can get, I get like, oh, don't tell me that. But it's right. We have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So sometimes the word offends us. But you know something? I used to think that sometimes if I do something, Jesus comes running after us. Will come running after me. You know he doesn't. You realize that he said to the 12, does this offend you? Are you going to stay here? Do you want to leave? And they're like, well, where else are we going to go? He doesn't say he was going to chase after him. You know that rich young ruler comes running after Jesus, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus loved him, the Bible says. Jesus loved him and said, take what you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And it said that he walked away sorrowfully. You know, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus went after him. I always would have thought that it was me. I would have said, no, wait, come back. I'm sorry. Okay, just give away part of what you have. And come and follow me. How about 10%? Just 10%. Give me a nickel. Okay, then you can still follow me. Jesus, like, you know what? You want to walk away? He'll let you go. It's like, what? God will do that? But he'll be there instant you turn around. Because he will never force you to anything. And realize, like, the story with the father and the prodigal son, we always talk about that. The father was there waiting. But the father never chased after him. I always, you know, that came to me about a few months ago. I was like, because, you know, I'm a dad, and I'd be wanting to chase after my son. But if I have to pick up my son and physically drag him in to my house to feed, to eat supper, he's not going to enjoy the meal, is he? Right? I'd rather show up and say, hey, what's Kathy making tonight? Because I don't cook. It's like, what's Kathy making tonight? You know, well, she's making liver and onions. Okay, Dad, I'll see you tomorrow. Right? You know, sometimes we're like that. Oh, I got a tithe. A sliver and onions, that offends me. I don't want to do that. That's all I got to say on tithing. So, but you know, sometimes we got to make sure we don't let the word offend us. Amen. We got to realize that it says you got to love your spouse. Oh, okay. It's a confession of faith. I love you, honey. I love you. No, it's not. But you know, sometimes when you're upset with your spouse, sometimes you need to say, I love you, baby. Because it might be a confession, because how what you say will come to pass. Amen? Even when I'm mad at her, it's like, I love you. You know, and it's true. And we try and keep that where we don't go to bed mad. That part we almost take literal. We don't go to bed mad at each other. We try not to let the sun go down on our wrath. So, you know, and it's like, okay. And, you know, it's like, but you know what's amazing is that we've sat there and I've, you know, come to bed and I'm like, I love you. And she's like, what do you do? You know, and I've said, and I've heard it, and I'm thinking, it's kind of weird because you always think God's going to speak like,
thus saith the Lord.
You know, sometimes it'll just be a, give her a hug. What? I can't find that in the Bible anywhere. Give her a hug. It's not in there. But sometimes, you know, because you've got an intimacy with God, that it's not just face to face with God, that he is the God of the house, amen. He speaks to this house. Give her a hug. And sometimes it'll just be a matter of give her a hug. And all of a sudden it's like, whew, the walls just come down, you know. And what happens after that's none of your business. But sometimes the walls will just come down. Sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes it is like you're doing something and it's like, do the laundry. Because she's been doing something all day. Sometimes it is that simple. Amen. Sometimes it might be stop watching hockey and go and play ball with your kid. Sometimes it could be that simple. Like I said, I pick on sports, but it's not just sports. It's all sorts of stuff, you know. And I've had it, you know, with Josh growing up, and I've always wanted to be, you know, a good dad and not having one. I've had good male influences, but not having a dad, I've always wondered, okay, Lord, how can I be a good dad? Because he was like 2 or 3 when I got saved. So I'm like, how do I be a good dad? Well, read it in here. He's my father, so you try and do the best. Because there's instructions in here about life, about everyday life, right? It's not all spiritual. Oh, spirit, I love speaking in tongues and stuff like that. But sometimes it's the stuff about how to be a good husband, how to be a good dad, how to be a good mom. It's in here, amen? Sometimes it's like, it is forgiveness. And you know how hard it is as a parent to ask your child to forgive you because you've done something wrong? It's kind of weird when they're 5 or 6 because they don't understand it. But when your kid's 24 and you got to say, you know, man, sorry, man, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done something wrong. I mean, the first time I did that when he was like an adult, he's like, it's okay because you're my dad. I said, no, it's not okay because I'm your dad. If I wronged you, I wronged you, right? And, you know, and it's amazing because it's always had to the point that we have a good relationship that, you know, even now he'll text me about stuff and whatever because he knows that, well, I have to watch myself. I don't start preaching at him, you know. But sometimes, you know, if anybody knows me here, you'll know I'm a talker. And because I'm French, I talk like this. Isn't that right, Julie? No. But so sometimes we, you know, I was just thinking about something, never mind. But it's good to have a good relationship because you got to know, you know when your kids realize that you will walk in a softness towards them, that can open doors that is amazing to see. When you get a chance, like we were blessed when he was going through volleyball, that we got to go to every volleyball game because it was just a blessing that, you know, you show up and other kids are like, your dad's here. Because that in itself can be a testimony that I'm not going to go golfing every Saturday, but I want to go to what you want to do, right? I'm not going to go do this every Saturday. I want to go do what you want to do. Because it might be like I can cut the grass on a Thursday night for an hour and a half, so now I can have Saturday when the kids are home, you know? You know, it's like even last Saturday we were looking after Callie for the day. And it was said to Kat, he said, it was nice just going out and being a grandparent. And just doing these things, and you get to build a relationship, because when she hears your voice, amen, she knows who grandma is, because of intimacy. If you're not intimate, and you're just the face of God, you might not know his voice, amen. You know, that's one of the things we were talking about, is, you know, Jacob took a wife, said he knew her, in the biblical sense, woke up the next day and was like, oh, you're not the daughter I wanted. We were talking about that. I was like, that's weird. You know, it's like, it's because there's no intimacy, you know. It's like, you know, it's amazing because he will talk. He, when God speaks to you, he will sound like someone. What did Samuel say? Lord, he said, he ran to Eli. Here I am. Eli said, it wasn't me, right? He did it, what, 3 times. And the son of Eli said, oh, it must be God. Because he sounds like a voice that's familiar. Most of the time, if God speaks to you, he'll sound like yourself. You know, but if you don't know him, if you're not intimate, if you're not intimate with the word, how can you know what he says to you? Amen. Because his spirit will never speak against the word. You know, so he'll never tell you to go do something that's contrary to the word. I know that sometimes when we go and you got to get to a place of intimacy of who you are with God. But, you know, as believers, sometimes we grade other Christians. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, so I must be good. Well, that's not the way to do a Christian life. Amen. It's like, because what God's called me to do and what God's called Pastor Ken to do are two different things. So I might be able to get away with something that he can't get away with, or vice versa, right? So now if I'm like, honey, I got to do this and Pastor Ken didn't, so I must be better than Pastor Ken. And that's not right, because he will call him to do what he's called to do, and he will call me to do what I'm called to do. Amen. But if I'm not intimate with God, then how do I know? All I'm going to end up doing is parroting somebody that I follow, right? Or somebody that you watch. You got to realize that, you know, he might call him to do this, and I'm called to pick oranges and not apples, but it's still his orchard, right? So the intimacy is when we learn how to do what he's called us to do. So Jacob realized and got to the point of doing what God called him to do, and he was the one, like I said, the sons were multiplied through him. You know, it's amazing that when Isaac went to bless him, it says that the whole Jacob and Esau thing was that Jacob, deceiver, he dressed up like Esau and he took the birthright, right, for the bowl of porridge. But you know, the amazing thing is that I'm not saying that it was right to go and do that, but it says that in Hebrews, it says that by faith, the blessing was passed on to Jacob, which is amazing. By faith, the blessing was passed on to Jacob. Not to mean we have to go and be deceiving, but I think to me, it just showed me that it's our faith that'll move the hands of God, amen? Healing's there, but it's by faith that you receive what's already yours, amen? If your prosperity is there, but it's by faith that you receive what's already yours. J. Oswald Sanders says that Paul has the ambition to, and he said, quote, win the smile of the Lord. Win the smile of the Lord, which is based on 2 Corinthians 5:9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. So our goal, even Paul said, is to please God. We need to do what pleases God. Amen? And that's it. It's like we can't just stay at the house of God. We can't just meet him face to face. But we need to get to the point where that he is just our Lord and our Savior. We got to get to the point where we please him by what we do, by what our lifestyle is. Amen? Like I said, and I've shared this many times. It's not about, you know, Acts doesn't say he's going to make you go to witness to people, but to be a witness. So that when the power of the Spirit comes upon you, it's so you can be a better whatever you are. You know, if I'm at work and I'm all grumbly at work and I'm the first one out the door and I'm the last one coming in and I'm doing this, it's not a good witness. I need to be able to sit there and work right to the buzzer and not be at the clock 5 minutes before clocking out. You know, not, you know, the boss comes by and he says, I need somebody to do something. I'm not doing it. You know, we have to be a witness. Amen. It's cutting the grass. It's painting the house. It's doing these things. It's being in line and paying for the guys in front of you, the guy behind you, or letting the lady in, you know, that has two or three things. I'm speaking to myself here as well, you know. And sometimes it's those little things that will make people wonder why you're different. Amen? It's because when you get intimate with God, you become like him. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, because there was an intimacy with him. And the amazing thing was, when you look at whatever Jesus did, it was already done in the Old Testament. He fed 1,000, you know, he said he fed 5,000 men. And it says Elijah fed 100 men in a cave with a loaf of bread. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Elijah raised somebody from the dead. You know, everything Jesus did was already done in the Old Testament. The only thing Jesus did different was resurrect him, you know, because that was him and the virgin birth. But, you know, amazing that he said, I do. So what are the works that we have to do? The same things he did, his works. Preach the gospel, lay your hands on the sick, and get people healed and bring deliverance. Amen? That's what we have to do. Everybody stand up for a second. Everybody okay? I'm going to do a couple of confessions. I have nothing written down, so I'll go slow. because I was going to get Julie up here to interpret in case I start talking like this. No. I love the fact that I can, you know, tease myself. Well, you know, it's just that, like I said, I just want to do a confession before we go, because he is the high priest of our profession or our confession, amen? So like I said, is everybody ready? Hey, Father, I thank you, Lord, that I can be intimate with you, that I can hear your voice and do what you've asked me to do. I thank you, Lord, that I've just didn't meet you in church, but that I've met you intimately. I thank you, Father, that by your Spirit, you dwell within me. I thank you, Father, that your voice is the strongest voice I hear. I thank you, Father, that by your Spirit, I renew my mind to your word. I thank you, Father, that you've anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and bring deliverance to the bound. I thank you, Father, that I'm the best me that I can be because of you. I thank you, Lord, that I'm saved, healed, set free. I thank you, Father, that I am the victorious. That when I walk into a room, you walk in with me. When I walk into a situation, the enemy has to flee. I thank you, Lord, that this will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory. We thank you, Lord, that we are intimate with you. And we thank you, Lord, that we have you dwelling within us and that you are the only voice we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.